My name's Nick, and this is Theme Attractions. This is our very first podcast, so I hope you guys enjoy it. And so let's get down to it, shall we? So, who are we? Well, like I just said, we're Theme Attractions. My name is, obviously, Nick. My wife's called Amy, and we've been married a year now. And a couple years ago, I decided to open a Twitter page up called Theme Attractions, where we would discuss about UK and American theme parks. However, we have recently been talking about European theme parks. Now, if you haven't followed us already, send us a follow. We would very much appreciate. Those who already follow us obviously had noticed that we've uploaded a couple of pictures of this beautiful theme park, which I'm about to discuss quite soon. And let's talk about that, shall we? And so last November 24th, me and Amy got married. And then for our honeymoon, we decided to do Disneyland Paris, because I've done it now about three times already. So, but Amy's never been to Disneyland Paris. And that's probably the closest you can get to, if you live in the UK, it's probably the cheapest and closest thing you'll get to in comparison to the Florida theme parks, which I've done also. So you go to Disneyland Florida. So I wanted to show her what Disney was really like. So obviously, Disneyland Paris, for me, the ambience doesn't really have that appeal as to Florida theme parks, if you know what I'm saying. It's a beautiful park, don't get me wrong, but I wanted to show her what Disney was really like, you know. So, I mean, I could travel all the way over to America, but obviously money doesn't grow on trees, so, you know, the only cheaper option for me was to take the Eurostar into Disneyland Paris. However, we did have a brilliant time, and that was on our honeymoon. I can remember we were given donations of euros. That's what we asked for. And on the last day in Disneyland Paris, we just went on a shopping spree. Like, it was like, if you ever win the lottery, that's what the feeling would feel like, I think. If you win the lottery and you decide to go, do you know what? I'll just buy that. I'll just buy that. I'll just buy that. There's a couple of pictures on my Twitter. I think I'm dressed up as Darth Vader. Big Star Wars fan. I love the Star Wars franchise. And I brought a lightsaber. I always wanted a proper lightsaber. I couldn't afford the FX lightsabers, you know, the ones that are retailing over, you know, 200 quid. And made of glass, you wouldn't touch them. I got the plastic ones. I came out off of that, off of, it used to be called Space Mountain. Now it's called Hyperspace. It's the same ride, but it just got Star Wars themed everywhere on it. It's a brilliant ride. And I decided to buy a lightsaber. And this lightsaber, like, shines up. I got the Darth Vader one because I love the red. Red is my favourite colour. And Amy got the Luke Skywalker lightsaber, which is the blue, which is also Rey's lightsaber as well. So that's quite cool. And so there's a couple of pictures on Twitter. So if you go into the media side, you can have a look at some of the pictures that I took with my Darth Vader mask. I look very silly. We bought so much in Disneyland Paris. It was unreal on the last day. I had to go and buy, it was 120 euros suitcase. Yeah, you got that right, 120 euros suitcase, just to fill all our stuff in. So yeah, Disneyland Paris for us was absolutely amazing. We didn't have all that money, we would still have a very good time. However, just that extra little bit of money, those wedding money, gave us that a little bit more happiness, so we could go and do whatever we want. We were free to do what we want, so that was very nice from our guests at, at our wedding. So this year, I was deciding where I wanted to go, and it took us, well, I started planning our trip for November quite earlier on in the year. And I was trying to think of the places that we could go and visit. And it just seemed to be very expensive everywhere. I decided to choose, I couldn't afford it because it's so close to Christmas. Being our anniversary, I wanted to make it special. I watch YouTube videos like anyone else. So I've been watching Fantasia Land as one of these theme parks, which is in Germany. It's a beautiful theme park. And I've been watching this ride called Tauron, which is a multi-launch roller coaster. And I'm telling you, it is probably one of the best roller coasters you could ever go on. And if you guys get a chance, just have a look at my pictures on my Twitter. I've taken a couple of pictures. I've got one that I had to put a watershed on it because it actually looks like a professional photographer took it. That's what I was being told anyway. I just thought I took an awesome picture. But clearly it was a beautiful picture. So, and it's Tauron's just behind the rocks on its track. That was taken just at the end of the night at Fantasia Land. And so I said to Amy, I said, well, let's go to Fantasia Land then, because I really want to do Tauron. So I looked online to see if I could fly there. Well, it's 55 minutes out from Cologne Airport. And I'm thinking, do I really want to fly over to Fantasia Land? I mean, we're only going for a 3-day trip. I don't really want to fly there, to be honest, because I think just flying's a little bit hassle. And then it was one of my friends at work suggested to me that I should drive there. It isn't that long. So I had a look on the Google Maps and realised from where I lived to Fantasia Land, it was 7 hours. So I thought, crikey, 7 hours. You've got the ferry, which is 2 hours. So you add another, so it's about, yeah, it's 9 hours. Now, 9-hour drive, pretty much, 9-hour journey. But 7 hours driving is not actually that bad. I can think of many things that are worse than that. Like, from driving from here to Orton Towers, which is only 2.5 hours, seems further than me driving from here over to Germany in Fantasia Land. So I thought, well, I'll book the ferry. So I decided to book the ferry and do all the trimmings and book everything up and, you know, just get all the perks, because it's a special moment for us. It's our anniversary. So I decided to do this. I decided to drive. So I had a look at the mileage. 342 miles, it was estimated. That was one way. So for me, it's not really a far trip for me. Anyway, we got up early that day. And we went last Monday, I believe. It was the 25th. That was the 25th? Yeah, it was the 25th of November, day after our anniversary. And we got up really early and we headed over to Germany. And God crikey, that was a long ass drive. I'm telling you, that was a long, long drive. And I thought, it's going well. The drive's going well. It does feel long, but it is going well. We had a couple of stops. We got over to the border of Belgium and Germany. And there was like a 93-minute delay. And on this delay was actually the border crossing. Now, in Germany, as a law requirement, you're required to put snow tyres at this time of the month because of heavy snow in Germany. However, I decided not to do this. Yes, breaking the law, naughty boy. So we get into this border. We're going over to this border. And I pull over to get some fuel, some petrol, and then I get back onto the road, and right there was about 30 police cars, I'm telling you, by the services, and they're shining their torches at my car, and I'm saying to Amy, oh Amy, I think they're looking at my tyres, and she says, don't be so silly, not looking at your tyres, they're looking at you to see if you're dodgy. Now I'm already looking dodgy at this point, so, you know, straight face, just carry on driving. Fortunately for me, I didn't get caught, so that was absolutely fine. They didn't care about my tyres. I think it helped the fact that it wasn't snowing. It was dry conditions. So for me, it's fine. So we got back. We got to the hotel about 8:30 that night. And we left, I think it was about 7:30 in the morning. So yeah, it was a very long trip. And anyway, we got a good night's sleep. And next morning, we got up early. And we headed over to Fantasia Land, which was only 4 minutes drive from our hotel. So that was very convenient. And we got to the park And when we got to the park, you are confronted with Black Mamba, which is B&M's inverted roller coaster, right next to you, like proper at the entrance. It is a sight to see. It's beautiful. You can see the curve looks like really dodgy. Like, how can you get a roller coaster around that curve from the view that you're taken? And there's a bridge just up by the entrance. You walk up the bridge and you can see the carousel and the main entrance. And then further down is obviously the swings, the swinging ride at Fantasialand. The entrance for me, it felt really old and outdated. Obviously, first impressions count when it comes to a theme park. And it just seemed like a bus terminal more than it did a theme park entrance. But obviously that's not going to put me off. I'm just thinking, you know, I'll take some beautiful pictures, which is on my Twitter page. So that was taken. So anyway, we got there, I think it was about 10 o'clock we got there, only being 4 minutes. Anyway, I said to Amy, I turned around to Amy and I said, you do know it's, I think it opens at 11 o'clock, not 10 o'clock. So we got there 1 hour early. So we had to hang around for an hour. Yes, I got the times wrong. It was actually 11 to 8 p.m. on the Wind Room, not 10 to 8, which I thought originally. Anyway, we waited till 11 o'clock and we finally got in. And it was dead. I mean, completely. Things were just walkthroughs, literally walkthroughs. And we went on this first dark ride called Mouse au Chocolat, and this ride is an indoor dark ride, and I tell you what, I did Ninjago at Legoland, you know, with the, you can, and it's a kind of similar, like, tracked dark ride, where you use your hands to shoot the target, so it's like more like a Xbox Kinect sort of thing, but with the Mouse au Chocolat, you use a pump. And you spray these, like, I think they're like ice, like snowballs, or they could be cream, because it's set in a bakery. It was very highly enjoyable. The ride lasted a very long time, so much that because I've been watching the queue times previously to go into Fantasialand, I've noticed it's like 45 minutes to actually join. Now I know why it's 45 minutes. The ride lasted a good about 4 or 5 minutes, I reckon, on the dark ride. So yeah. So we got off of that chocolate or chocolate ride. The theming was absolutely excellent. Like I said, first impressions count for me. I was told highly about the theming in Fantasialand. I've been looking at so many pictures, and it's impressive just to see. It's a tiny theme park. Fantasia, but it looks bigger than it really is. Anyway, so we got off of Mouse au Chocolat and we headed over to our first roller coaster, which was Crazy Bats VR. Now, if you guys ever done a VR roller coaster, I'm in mixed opinions with VR roller coasters, to be honest, because when I'm on a roller coaster, I like to see where I'm going. I don't want to be immersed in a headset. Well, the concept seems really cool. I think VR is a little bit outdated, especially for attractions. So, but however, I also read quite a lot about Crazy Bats VR. So I thought, why not? You know, let's do this. So you go, once again, you go into the main entrance and it's, like I said, it's quite heavily themed. I wouldn't say this one's heavily themed, more mildly themed. Queue line, you've got like ice on the left and right, so like these blue balls of ice and blue and so forth. And it's quite a dark, because it's a dark indoor roller coaster. I forgot what it was originally named. I only know it as Crazy Bats, but you guys can comment on my podcast and let me know what the original name for Crazy Bats was, the VR coaster. Anyway, we got into the main entrance. Once again, walk on rides. You know, this park is completely quiet. We did go on a Tuesday morning, so that kind of helped a little bit. you know, any school kids there, really, to be honest. There's not really much of a queuing going involved. Anyway, we sit down, and do you know what? That coaster reminds me. I'm not too sure, because, once again, I should really, before doing this podcast, look into the facts of these coasters. But it might be a Vekoma corkscrew coaster, but it's not without the corkscrews, obviously. Guys, once again, let me know in the comments on the podcast on my Twitter page what Crazy Bats VR coaster is, make and model. But I think it's a Vekoma coaster, a family ride, indoor, dark. Anyway, you put these VR headsets on. And I put mine on, and Amy's putting hers on. And, you know, I get black in front of my headset. I'm just thinking maybe the ride hasn't started. I've never been on it, so maybe the ride hasn't started before. So, you know, just like that. And these VR, I just remind you, these VR headsets you put on screw at the back of your head. They're not wired up to the roller coaster, which I thought was a bit weird, to be honest. So they just fall off. Anyway, excuse me. Anyway, the ride starts off, and I'm still getting a splat screen. Oh, so I'm thinking, oh great, I've got a broken VR headset. For real. And there's Amy screaming like next to me. She's like, oh, this is well good, la la la. And I'm thinking, I can't see anything. I'm only seeing the logo, which said VR coaster experience. That's all I saw for the whole ride. So I was not impressed. I was like, sounds a bit familiar to Darren Brown's Ghost Train at Fort Park, I think, when the headsets just break all the time. But this is what I'm saying to you about VR headsets. They're not practical coasters. I just don't think they are practical. Anyway, come back round. It's still quiet. So I say to the ride operator, my VR headset doesn't work. He said, do you want to do it again? And I said, yeah, I'll do it again. This time I put it on. And I've been confronted by two bats. So, the VR headset is actually working. And they're doing this repeatedly blowing ice. Yeah, I think because their ride hadn't started. It's on like a loop intro or something. So that was kind of a bit annoying because you want the ride to kind of start. Anyway, so the coaster goes forwards, goes up the hill. And basically on the VR, you're on a block of ice. And you're in like a mansion. I think it's like Transylvania, because it's bat, you know, crazy bats fiend. It's like a kind of like a big mansion, like vampire style. But because it's a family coaster, it's not a scary mansion. It's quite lit up and quite light. And as you go up the lift hill, it's like you're climbing the steps on the ice block, and then you kind of like go down to the left, and the coaster's tilting to the left. So it feels like you're going round on the ice block, round through like around the corners and so forth. At one point, the ice block moves back, and it actually moves backwards, and it feels like the coaster moved backwards. However, it's not actually happening in real life. You know, you're going forward. It's just a trick of your mind, which was really crazy, because when the VR segment goes out of the building, it's quite airy, and I've noticed because of the coaster going quite fast, it's blowing air into my face. So it feels what I'm seeing as well. So that's a bit crazy. But it's not lining up. Some of the segments weren't lining up to the coaster's track. So once again, VR, not my thing. But it is a really good coaster. I came out quite dizzy and disorientated, to be honest. I did it twice. I think Amy came out a bit sick as well. Because you don't know where you're going. You can't see where you're going. And you're confronted with a virtual screen. So you're feeling a bit dizzy coming off. I don't like feeling dizzy or sick, like nauseous when coming off of coasters. So that wasn't my all-time favourite coaster, to be honest. It's a really good, well put together coaster, but I think it should take the VR out, have it as the original coaster that it was. I don't know if the original had lighting effects or anything like that. Just like, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster at Disneyland. Parts, you know, when they go through the lights and so forth, and also the Walking Dead, you know, they got the ride where they got the lights inside the dark coaster segments. So I think they should have something like that, really, to be honest. However, so we came off, we decided to we decided to do this coaster called Whinger. Now, it's a very misplaced coaster, Whinger, because not many people, there people just dart for Black Mamba. They just go to Tauron. I like to see everything. If I'm coming to a theme park from far across, from the UK to Germany, I'm going to do it all, really. So, we did this spinning coaster called Whinger. Now, I once again looked on YouTube, saw the POVs of this coaster, and I thought, oh, that looks crazy. That does look crazy. And they're spinning coasters. Now, a spinning coaster is a coaster that spins freely on its axis as it's going around corners. And there's two of them. It's called Whinger Fear and Whinger's Force. So we decided to do Whinger's Fear because I think I recall Whinger's Fear being the best of the both coasters. And they're both in the same location. And one launches first, the other one launches the second. So we sit down on this coaster, and you're waiting for a little bit for dispatch. The dispatch is a bit slow on these coasters. Anyway, you get to this section, and it goes into a box, and it's all dark. And I'm thinking, oh God, there's actually no lift here. How's this going to work? And it's a lift that takes you up vertically upwards. I thought, that's crazy. And you can feel, you can feel a tilt on this coaster, and as you launch forwards a little bit, you feel like, oh, okay, you're going to drop. It's going to be a drop straight away. It's not going to go forwards and then drop. It's going to drop straight away. And the voiceover guy says something in German. I can't do German, so, but he says something about fear, and it just drops, and you're like, oh my God. And I was like, whoa! And it kind of does like an airtime hill straight away. And then it goes outside this, like, in this indoor area. It goes round this main ride, this little, like, flat ride. It's like a lift flat ride in the middle. And it's beautiful scenery that you get. It's, the views are amazing. And apart from that, you're spinning as well. When you're going around these corners, like a wild mouse. It's like, this is nothing I've been on before. It's like, Dragon's Fury at Chesington Wild Adventures, or, you know, Spinball Wizard at Alton Towers. This coast is like next level to that. And then you go into this other section, and you go back into, after you've done, like, you know, the layout outside, you go into a tunnel, and all of a sudden it stops you, and then the track disconnects and tilts forwards. So you're actually leaning up again, reconnects to another track, and drops you. I think, this is crazy elements. I've never seen these before. And then, you know, you do some more twists and turns. And then in the end, you go past the last track, and the track goes, it bounces. When I say bounce, it's like being on a trampoline. It bounces. It's really weird. So we love that ride. So we decided to go and do Force was the next one, because, you know, they're both at the same place. Once again, Force is quite similar. It's a much more faster experience than Fear. And the crazy element that it does in the tunnel game, after it does the layout outside and so forth, it holds you on a track, and then it moves you sideways and tilts the track, not up, but it, like, you go off to the left, you tilt to the left, so you're like, you know when you're like hanging on, I don't know, when you climb a wall and you hang on to the edge or something, like, it's a bit like that. And then it drops you, so you're not like going vertically up, you're going sideways, and then it drops. It's really weird. So both of those coasters, I mean, if you ever go to Fantasia Land, I highly recommend those coasters. Absolutely brilliant. So we did all that, and now we get onto the main rides. Yes, Black Mamba and Tauron. So we go and do Black Mamba. I'm looking forward to Black Mamba. Whoa, the theming. The ducks and dives through those sections of the building. I mean, like, Nemesis at Alton Towers does the ducks and dives. But Black Mamba looks much more intense than it, than Nemesis. This is my first impressions. I'm thinking, well, I am going to love this ride. I'm going to love it. So we're queuing up for Black Mamba. This was only a 10-minute wait. They only had one train in operation that day. We decided to queue for the front, so we waited a little bit longer. And we got onto the ride, and The overhead restraints came down. Now, they're very old style, a bit like Nemesis. Like in Nemesis at Untails, they're old style, plasticky, really hard plastic. So, you know, I've been on these kind of coasters before. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, lean forwards, put your head forwards. You know, because if you put your head back, you're going to bang your ears. Anyway, we start our ascent up to our climb up the lift hill. And this coaster just, whoa, I swear to God, when it starts to make its turns and stuff, you're ducking and diving, you're doing inversions. There's four inversions. It's a corkscrew, loop-to-loop. I don't know the rest of it, I think. There's some heartline rolls, I think. No, not heartline rolls, are they barrel rolls? There might be barrel rolls. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But I know there's four inversions on that coaster. And it's thrashing you about. It's left and right. And you're thinking, God, I came out of my ears. I must have bruised my ears. It was probably the roughest coaster I've ever been on in a European theme park. So I came off and I said to Amy, I said, Black Mamba, do you like Black Mamba? She's like, no, not really. I said, it's different to Nemesis, isn't it? I mean, like, in compare, what's better? And we both agree Nemesis was the obvious choice. You get a smoother experience with Nemesis, but forceful experience with Nemesis, as well as Black Mamba, it just kind of makes you come off sick. It's really thrown left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. You're like, oh, God, no. No, I just don't like it at all. I really don't like it. So that was the first and last time we did Black Mamba. Beautiful coaster. I grant you that. But it's not the best coaster I've ever been on. Let's put it that way. Anyway, after that, we decided to get some food. I decided to eat some churros because I love churros. You know, guys, if you've never had a churros, Mexican pastries in cinnamon, it's beautiful. And then in chocolate dipping sauces. Oh, scrummy yummy. So we had them. And then we decided to go do Colorado's Mine Train, which is up near where Tauron is. And Colorado Mine Train is a runaway mine train. Oh my God, that layout. That is a weird-ass layout, I'm telling you. It's a crazy layout. And once again, we decided to go on the front car, on the front seat. And I swear to God, I could have climbed out of that coaster in mid-run. It was that easy. And yeah, I'm a bit chubby. I grant you that. But however, lap bars are supposed to come down and secure you. I could probably lift myself out of that coaster in mid-run. So I did not feel safe at all. My bum kept leaving the seat all the time. So and as it climbs over the lift hills, it slows down. So it's like it holds you. It's a really weird experience. It holds you. Because it's trying to get its whole train. I think the curve for the descent on the lift hills, they're just too slow. They're too slow, and I don't like that. I like quick. You know, gone, sorted. Not just a little curvature. That's not great, is it? Anyway, we did that, and then. We went over, we did a flat ride. It was a ghost train. I can't pronounce names, so don't get me. Have a look on Fantasia Land on Ghost Train, okay? I can't even say it, so I'm not even going to say it on this podcast, so don't even expect me to say it. I'm just going to say Fantasia's Land in Chinatown, which is that section, Ghost Train. Okay, guys, that Ghost Train, they're not scary Ghost Trains. I find them quite interesting, to be honest. They're a bit silly. But this Ghost Train, it's like being in a horror film. It's like, what the hell am I looking at? It's so screwed up. It's so screwed up. If I could say a few words on podcast, which I'm not going to do, I would say it because it is seriously mucked up. Okay, mucked up. If you change that word, you would know what I'm saying. Mucked up, yeah? It's just weird. It is a weird ride. You have like, I don't know, demons in there, but these animatronics are just damn weird. I'm like, okay, you could take babies on this ride. That's something you would like to show young children. not scary, just weird to look at. If you ever get a chance, go on YouTube, put in Fantasia Land Ghost Train, POV, and you'll know what I'm talking about, and you might just agree with me there. Anyway, I did that. I came off it, and it was about time. Tauron. Oh no, it wasn't Tauron we did before that. We did another one. We did a boomerang coaster. See, I'm getting ahead of myself here, because I just want to talk about Tauron all the time. No, we did a boomerang coaster called Talc. And beautiful little coaster. It's in the section of Tauron. A boomerang coaster is something, a ride that, you know, pulls you back, drops you. You do a circuit, you go up another hill, and it goes back. Does the same circuit backwards. Lovely little ride. I love it. Yeah, good for the kids, you know. I love the restraints as well, because it's the restraints only come on your legs. They don't go over. So you are free on your torso. That's what I love about these restraints these days. They're more leg restraints than they are over torso restraints. Really good freedom. We did that a couple of times, actually, that ride. Not really much to discuss. It's very heavily themed around the main attraction at Fantasia Land, which is Tauron, which I'm going to say in a minute. And it's like a Nordic area, so it's, you know, like Viking themed area. So it's a very beautiful area, so it's quite well themed around that area. Anyway, let's talk about the main attraction, Tauron. Oh yes, walk on as well. I think I picked a really good day to do Fantasia Land. I really think so, especially at the Christmas period as well. These rides are just walk ons. I think we did most of the rides in about 3 hours. So, Tauron. I did that 4 times front row and once in the back. No, three times in the front row and once in the back. So 4 times out the whole day. Because I loved it that much. The theming, once again, it's got some really good theming outside its exterior, like the facades and so forth. Like the houses as the coasters dropping in through buildings going around the rocks and so forth. But the queue line is a basic queue line. Not much theming going on there, wooden fences, but you get some beautiful views of this multi-launch roller coaster. Now, Tauron's made by Intamin, which Intamin, for me, once again, oh, I love that coaster company. It's such a cool coaster company. They do some amazing coasters. Anyway, we go, and it's an LSM launch, which is not a hydraulic launch. You know, a hydraulic launch is like a wire pulley that pulls the coaster forwards. LSM is electronic magnets, which I believe. Correct me once again if I'm wrong. So you get to the main station, and this coaster design is basic, right? You don't have, like, you know, the traditional, like, you have to put your leg over to get into the ride. It's like literally you could just walk onto it. It's like wheelchair access friendly coaster. That's what it felt like. It had no like side section. And it had like horns at the front. Oh, it's a beautifully made up roller coaster. Anyway, we do front row because I want to do front row. I'm not traveling all this way not to do front row on these things. And golly gosh, like I said, no words can describe what I felt when I was on that coaster. You know, you go around the corner and it holds you for a few seconds and gone. You are going around on this track. You're going through the houses. You're going around the rocks. And these rocks are so beautifully themed. It's unreal. Like, this coaster deserves a multiple awards. It's got to be the world's best coaster I've ever been on. Seriously, for theming, I love theming. And it's ducking and diving and it's going really fast. And as it's going down a hill, it's not slowing down. It's launched up again, like upwards. And it's so fast, it pushes you back. And I love the airtime hills. On the first section of the airtime hill, go around this corner, and it thrashes you forwards. And you're like, whoa! You're like, you want to be thrown out the seat. It's like, you want to be chucked around. And it just gives you that thrill, that buzz of a coaster that I've never felt in such a long time. And I've been doing coasters, I'm now 32 in a couple of weeks. I've been doing coasters since I was 12. So it's been a long time, 20 years I've been doing coasters. And I never felt the buzz like I did with Tauron. I mean, seriously, I wish that coaster was here in the UK. I really do. Such an amazing coaster. It really is. absolutely amazing. And to do it in the dark, wow. To do it in the dark, dark ride in Tauron. Whew, God help me. That is much more better than the daytime. You get a much more better buzz out of it. There's not really much I can say about Tauron, unless you've experienced it. But you can heartily agree with what I felt when I've been on that ride. Once again, go on YouTube, check out Tauron, put the PIV Fantasialand on. And then obviously there's pictures on my Twitter as well. I've taken a couple of pictures of Tauron during the day and the night. And then we went and did a ride called A Mystery Castle. I took one look at it because I didn't really know what it was. People saying it's not so brilliant. I can understand why. However, the theming, once again, was excellent theming. Very good mistreated theming, because you walk through and they're walk-on rides. These are pretty much walk-on rides. And you walk up and it just launches you up this dark area. And this ride is over in seconds. It's a drop ride. It's a crazy ride. I think it should be treated a little bit better than it deserves, I think. And I think the drop ride should be a little... Yeah, it should be better, I reckon. That's all I can say. But overall, I give it about a 5 out of 10. It's like the theming's excellent. It's just that the ride experience is not... doesn't give that sense of feeling to the theming and the ride. They don't go together. It should just be a little bit better, in my opinion. But still a really fun ride. So, I mean, I could talk ages about Fantasialand. I think I really hit on the main points on Fantasialand. I think overall, if you ever get to go. I would say when the Wintrium starts, go in a weekday. Yeah, they're probably walk-on rides. And also the mulled wine. If you ever tried the mulled wine there, oh, it's so nice. It is so nice. You get a cup, a mug, and it's got Fantasialand. I think that was about... I think it came to like 10 euros. Or was it 2 euros 50 each? I'm not too sure. I mean, the pricing of Fantasialand is really good pricing also. So, that's really much about Fantasialand. And also, guys, I notice that I've been talking a little bit about Cedar Point. But I think I'm going to see how this podcast goes. If you like it, please share comments in our Twitter page. Let me know what you think about our podcast. I'll run a poll soon as well. And we'll find out if you enjoy it. If you do enjoy it, then I'll do a second episode on Cedar Point. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. All right, thank you, and have a good day.